T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Okay, Russ, for the score in Chicago. The Danny Parkin Show.
Please tell for local talk show host Danny Parkin.
Afternoons on the Score.
And without further ado, we're very, very proud to introduce John Lester, the newest member of the Chicago Cubs.
I just believed in the plan these guys have. It felt like the right fit for us at the right time.
Strike three call. Strikeout number 1,500 for John Lester.
You know, hopefully World Series to come.
Lester knocks down his 14th strikeout victim of the day.
That's a trick, that step off and hold the ball. He's not going to throw to first base.
It's all right, it's worth it.
The fans are shocked as well here in Wrigley.
I faced him quite a bit in my career, and I got to tell you, there's no tougher competitor. John Wayne personality just comes at you all day long.
Strike three call, two down. Lester making some clutch pitches.
Deep left center for John Lester. He's got it! A home run!
Oh, they're
John
dance.
Lester!
I'm one hell of a people person. I got to go out there and shake hands and take pictures. That should be interesting. I told him it really didn't mean that much to me. I didn't want to take a picture. So
Lester is going to bunt. It's out in front of the plate. Here comes Hayward. He scores. Cubs win. Cubs win. John Lester with a beautiful bunt.
Zobrist has it. Cubs win. It's a Maddox.
Strike three ball. Cubs win. John Lester goes all the way and beats the Giants.
I'm not too concerned about all the other analytic BS.
The Cubs are going to the World Series. The Cubs win the pennant.
Time now for the most valuable player.
Javi Baez. And also John Lester.
I think our guys are young and dumb. Our guys are so cocky that they don't give a You know what I mean? Like, I'm sorry.
The moment of truth in the World Series has arrived. It's up to John Lester. Cubs winning a World Series game at Wrigley for the first time since October 8th, 1945.
This right here is why I came here. They convinced me to believe in a 100-loss team.
A little bouncer slowly toward Bryant. He will glove it and throw to Rizzo. It's in time, and the Chicago Cubs win the World Series.
Obviously, tonight didn't quite go the way I wanted to. Have an empty stadium, not really how I envisioned possibly my last start here. So I'm not going to sit here and say, woe's me. But I didn't think 6 years would go this fast.
And that's that.
Hey, you're so funny, man.
The Danny Parkin Show.
That's what all the kids listen to you, man. You are the best thing on the radio.
Afternoons 2 to 6 on 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago's sports station.
Nicely done, Chris Tannehill, as always. Jen Sturger Decker has requested 5:30 now instead of 5 o'clock to talk about being on the receiving end of unsolicited lewd text messages like Jared Porter sent to the unknown former female reporter when he was an employee with the Cubs. She received those types of text messages from Brett Favre, famously, over a decade ago. She's the wife of Cody Decker, who was on the show earlier today. So we will get her perspective on that story and what the Cubs should do, given that it did happen on their watch 4 years ago. So she will join us at 5:30. And so that is a story that is obviously of significant societal and organizational importance to the Cubs and society. But there's the baseball component now that John Lester leaves and is reportedly upset, speaks at how they handled it. And it's a series of events, right? It's Darvish for prospects. It's nothing for Almora, nothing for Schwarber. and now lowballing John Lester late, who is the greatest free agent acquisition in team history. Jed Hoyer has a very, very difficult job to do, and I do wonder how is he going to – like when he speaks, spring training or the meetings or whatever, when he tries to sell to fans that they can compete in a bad division and mm-hmm. the moves that he's made this offseason were not primarily motivated by money, how is he going to sell that to Cubs fans?
He's going to have some acquisitions at some point, as opposed to just this pile of losses from the big league roster. And there are a lot of arms left out there, a lot of starting pitcher reclamation projects, which could make some sense. A lot of guys who could come here and you could say he throws harder and better than John Lester these days. This guy is younger with more of an upside, or this guy is coming off an injury, but it makes more sense. I was hoping they'd be in on Corey Kluber, and I think they were interested, but Corey Kluber has ended up choosing the Yankees, and you know that kind of thing, because there's swing and miss stuff if they get there. So there's going to have to be a much clearer picture. It's one of the things I hope for this year, just in terms of the pure sports of it, is that there is a clearer picture, and it seems to make more sense than just the moves so far, which have a baseball component. There is a baseball component to these moves. It's just hard to see that through the obvious financial component that is taking part.
Yeah, and you know, there's that's the thing that matters, right? Like for fans who are just you root for the Cubs, it's like, wait, what? Third market and expanded Wrigley Field, and it's not the Tribune anymore, and you're making moves for money. The baseball component of it is bringing back the same team would have been insane. And we all said that. The question is, are these moves motivated primarily by baseball or money? Or is it somewhere in the middle and 50-50? I don't really know the answer to that. I just know that it's frustrating to seem like it is primarily motivated by money when they do not tell us exactly whether or not you've lost money or lost profits. And we've talked about this before, because a lot of people made less money than they thought they were going to make as a result of the coronavirus. But that's different than actually losing money out of pocket. And I don't know how bad of a shape the Ricketts family is in. And I hope that whenever they're back and people are at Wrigley Field again and they're ready to field a winning team, I expect them to be top five in payroll, perennially. That's the expectation that I will hold the Ricketts family to as the owners of the Chicago Cubs.
They're really angering a lot of a fan base, though. This particular offseason so far, you've got a lot of people who are losing some love, losing some loyalty, losing some hope. Because you look around and there are a few organizations that are going for it aggressively. The Blue Jays, I think, are signing Kirby Yates, who's coming off an injury, but before that was one of the best relievers in baseball. They signed Tyler Chatwood. I think they're going to use him in relief. Their offseason was a little stagnated, but they're getting more active. We're obviously seeing the Yankees be active, and right across town there are the White Sox as your obvious example of a team that is choosing to move forward and take the opportunity to spend some money. You're allowed. You're allowed to do it, and the Cubs are not doing it.
Yeah, it sucks, man. These headlines suck, and, you know, the Cubs fan base is going to be the big one in town, and when they're good again, they will be there, and they'll be watching, and the ratings will be there, and all that stuff. It's a beloved team and a devoted fan base and a large fan base, but right now, the better-run organization, the healthier organization, certainly the better team, and the more likable team is on the south side of Chicago.
It's more likable. I don't know if you can say better run. They're definitely better, but better run. I feel like the Cubs, they've entered, from a baseball perspective, they've entered this particular cycle earlier than people thought they were going to enter. You know, like if all this stuff was happening next year, would it be met with the same kind of reaction, the same kind of disappointment? They've chosen to enter this phase of the cycle that I think was inevitable because of the failings of drafting, because of their failure to self-scout and make the most out of this trove of young and controlled position players, trade the right guys, sign some of the guys. They've failed to take advantage of that position. So I think this particular moment in the cycle was inevitable. They're just choosing it now, perhaps a year earlier than they would have to.
Yeah, you're probably right. But I think also it's that it's not just that they're losing these pieces who the fan base has grown attached to. It's like the simple economic principle that everybody understands, at least conceptually. Buy low, sell high. They're just selling low. And that's partly because of the players' failings at the wrong time, and it's partly by money. Like, Yu Darvish was one of the three best pitchers in baseball last year.
So they sold high on Yu Darvish. I know people don't like the return, but they actually sold high on Yu Darvish.
But they don't like the return. So if that trade would have been met with, oh, my God, look at what the Cubs got back, I think it would be different. But it was... That's what the Cubs got back? Ugh, I guess it was mostly about money. And so that's where I think that this... It's not that no one was advocating, that I know, was advocating bring back the same team and just expect a different result. Everyone was like, okay, retool the roster, tough offseason, bad luck that these guys who were up after 2021 weren't having good years and all of that stuff, understood that you weren't going to be able to keep all of the 2016 core for 2022 and beyond. Like, I feel like most Cubs fans had been primed and conditioned for that by Theo Epstein. He's been talking about that since 2015. Like,
yes,
that wasn't
has.
The problem. It's just that he also talked about threading the needle so that there wasn't a huge step back. And it feels like the only reason there might not be a huge step back in terms of, like, meaningful games in September
is because
the NL Central could be won with 84 wins.
Yeah.
And so, you got a ton for these guys, it'd be different. But they haven't gotten anything for these guys.
Yeah, they seem to have missed their window on those kind of needle-threading trades. And then chose against it on the Darvish return. The Padres picked up all the money. They picked up all the money, and that should mean that the prospects are better. But they got good ones. They just got young ones. They got real, real young ones because the atmosphere is not right in the business for the Padres to give up the high quality of prospects. No, man, it all adds together for a very bad look. It really does. And when John Lester takes just $5 million, I mean, the guy's got probably $200 million that he's made. What has he made in his life? 250, something like that.
Yeah,
but five mil for 1 year of Lester is incredibly, incredibly doable. It is incredibly matchable. And you'd hope that would have been at least on the table for him to choose to come back here and do it. But he chose Washington. That's
back,
a good team.
Like, from a baseball standpoint, do you want John Lester back?
You know, sure. Sure. I would have, because you're also trying to maintain a culture and keep that going. And you're also trying to you're trying to keep a clubhouse believing that you want the best for them and you want the best interests of them. I think it's damaging to have this feeling of having done him wrong. So maybe it will come forward and it'll say that that's not the case. But if there is this case, this perception and belief among the team that they didn't even take care of John Lester, that's bad, man.
That would be terrible. And until I actually see that, I have a very hard time believing it. I expect full page ad, you know, Chicago Tribune, social media post. He already did the bar thing where he picked up the beer tabs at all the different establishments. I will be shocked if a multi-day, week, month, prolonged story, like whenever the Nationals come to Wrigley, if any of the conversation around that is that John Lester was done wrong at the end, I will be, it's certainly possible, and the early indications are that he, you know, they were late with the offer and they came in a couple million dollars short and it was disrespectful and all of that, and maybe I'm naive, but I just, why would they do that? Why not just say, hey, John, you know, we're not interested. We have too many soft-tossing guys. We're trying to get younger. We need more velocity. We want a younger pitcher to get the 25, 30 starts that you would have gotten this year. Like, John Lester's a pro. Why would you have to do that and disrespect him or lowball him in that way?
You shouldn't have to.
I guess I'm gonna assume competency and respect in that regard, because there's not a lot of stories like that about the Cubs, right? There have been stories about plenty of bad things with the Cubs organization, mm-hmm. whether you want to talk about ownership or condoning behavior or not knowing about behavior and all that sort of thing, right? We're going to be talking about it with Jared Porter, with Jen Sturger coming up in 15 minutes. So this is not a perfect organization by any means, but players by and large seem to be pretty satisfied with how they're treated by the front office and the organization, right? Like, I feel like that's a pretty fair thing to say.
Yeah,
so I'd be very surprised.
That's been the case. That has certainly been the case. I enjoyed John C. McGinley with you yesterday, by the way.
Oh, thanks.
I've loved that guy forever. He was in a ton of Spike Lee movies early on. Did you get there? I missed that part of it, if you talked about that.
We talked about all the Oliver Stone movies he was in
early. There you go.
Yeah, because he did like five Oliver Stone movies. And Oliver Stone discovered him. He was like an understudy in Broadway. And so he did Platoon and Talk Radio, mm-hmm. and Wall Street and Any Given Sunday.
And Wild Hogs.
Yeah, Wild Hogs, which we didn't get to. Sorry, Shane. And by the way, we could have. We could have asked that question at the end. But we were really late. And so, you know, next time, 6:05.
That was the one that Shane was dying for.
Yeah, like when we had Fichtner on and he really wanted to ask about
Longest Yard.
Longest Yard. And then Fichtner was like, "Yeah, I'm not interested in talking about Longest Yard." That was Shane wanted to get into Wild Hogs with McGinley, but for me it was Office Space and Point Break. Those were the two that I really wanted to get, cuz Point Break to me it was my first heist movie. Like, Keanu Reeves, Patrick Swayze, Gary Busey, they wear the masks of the presidents, they're surfers, they're skydiving. It's just absurd action all around. And he's just this awesome FBI character who curses out, and like, he's got screaming match scenes with Gary Busey. And so it was a lot of fun to hear him talk about like the soul of that movie and the character and why it worked and where he went from there. And then of course the whole point of it was
to get him to talk to Ted. And he did. You got payoff on that. Just,
you know,
freaking
me, man.
Gorgeous. I know. So,
Ted, listen, Ted, what would you say you do here?
Oh, it's so delightful. So clean. So perfect. Well, I love it does feel like on some level some sweet vindication, because man, the Ted thing, the what the hell is Ted doing there, and why is Ted there? You and I used to argue about that. Hub has argued about that. So many people have argued about that. And to have it be exposed the way it was kind of a relief, frankly. Like we all see and we all understand how that organization is where they still are, because the only guy that they're giving power really outside of their own little family bubble is that guy.
Did you hear what George McCaskey was on with Grody and I?
I did not.
Okay.
Should have.
No, it's fine.
I'm a big fan of the show, especially when I'm on it. But I missed that one. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it was a lot of the questions that I asked were about Ted Phillips and their organizational structure and the role. And he believes in him. He believes they have it set up the right way. He believes that ultimately, he's not a football guy. He's a football owner. So eventually the buck will have to stop. Like, there can only be so many, right? Like, the top football guy is Ryan Pace. I'm like, well, why not a football guy over him that he reports to? He's like, well, I'd mm-hmm. have to hire that guy. Or what about someone who's in the room with you when Ryan Pace is giving you reports? He's like, well, we had a consultant, Ernie Accorsi. Like, well, what about someone full time? He's like, well, we have this organizational structure set up this way. Like, he just, for better or worse, uh-huh. he believes they have it set up the right way, and that's not the fatal flaw of the Chicago Bears. And, you know, I asked him, it's six playoff appearances in 22 years with Ted Phillips. If he's choosing the football people and they're judged on wins and losses, shouldn't he be judged the same way? And he talked about, you know, him being judged on other things in addition to the performance of the football team. And so it's just murky. It's just how they have it set up.
But there it is, the other things in addition to the football performance, and those things matter. the business stability.
Culture, leadership. You know, he was talking about how he guided the organization through the pandemic. Like, and it's like, well, so then how am I going to quantify that? Like, if he's in the room for the football stuff, and I hold the football record against him, but then there's all this other stuff that he credits him for that we don't have any idea about, really. You know, it's just a very it's murky. It's muddy. And so, yeah. And when Olin Krutz asked on the show, like, that he asked Ted Phillips, you know, that he didn't really know what he does, I was like, oh, man, that's like the line from Office Space.
Yeah.
And so then we tracked down McGinley, and he played ball with it. It was truly special. I loved every minute of it. Because you know I will take these big swings in interviews.
Yes, you will.
And sometimes they go horribly.
Oh, yeah. But I admire the swing. I do.
You.
Hey, do you have a story? Oh, my God. Story. Maybe it's because when I'm asked for that, like, hey, what's your best story? Oh, your story. Like, you know, it's like it's supposed to just sort of come up naturally in conversation or get reminded. But some people are like that. Some people are ready. Man, we had Tom Pachorik on to talk about Tommy Lasorda on Inside the Clubhouse, last week. And he just went boom, boom, boom down the Lasorda stories. Just like 4, 6, bang. These are my top 5. This is how they come out. And just out they came. And they're gold, every single one of them.
Yeah, some people are anecdotal in like how they have a memory like that, and other people are not. And so, but I always think that those are the more interesting interviews. So like, and we've been very lucky, man. So we're gonna try to do it. We're gonna do character actors, that guy actors, however you want to describe it. We're gonna just guys who have been in guys or girls who have been in many movies that span genres of things that we like. We're not going for the superstars, but we're gonna go for the people you're like, oh yeah, I don't know the name, but I know the voice or the character or the role,
mm-hmm.
and we're 2 for 2. Shane, are we able to say who's coming on the show on Friday?
Yeah, you can promote that, sure.
Awesome. William Fichtner's coming back.
Your guy.
He's coming back. He's a huge Bills fan. And so we're like, well, let's just have Fichtner on again. He was so good. I'm sure he'll tell us another story or two from a movie that we didn't get to last time. Maybe we could circle back around to The Longest Yard. But mostly Buffalo Bills talk with Bill Fichtner.
Why not?
Why not? Why not?
Yeah.
I'm very excited for that.
Contact. Ask one about Contact for me. I'm curious
Contact.
If he enjoyed it or not.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. That guy, I mean, he seems to enjoy his life. He seems to enjoy. And, man, McGinley. Just like, how did you become friends with Chelios? Oh, I mean, known him for 30 years. He lives a mile that way, right by Cusack. I'm like, God, your life seems sweet. It's just a fun life. Like, all the people that you interact with and all the things that you do. And guy was grinding out, like, 2-3 movies a year in the 90s for an entire decade. That's a pretty sick way to make a living and see the world. Who's your favorite that guy actor?
J.K. Simmons has now elevated himself beyond, hey, it's guy, I think, with his performance in what was the movie
Whiplash.
With the drummer? In Whiplash. But I just saw him the other day in something, and I thought, man, I used to love him as that. M. Emmett Walsh, dead. He gone.
Be tough to get.
Yeah, J.T. Walsh, also dead. So that's unfortunate. So I'll have to expand the palette to some more. But I just saw J.K. Simmons, by the way, in Palm Springs, which I enjoyed a lot. Andy Samberg in Palm Springs. Do you know about it?
I've
heard of it. I enjoyed the hell out of it.
Really good. Creative. Like
yes.
I was like, I don't have a movie to comp this to. That was a fresh, like I was like, that was good. That was like a fresh, different, surprising movie. I enjoyed that movie quite a bit, actually.
Yeah, so did I.
Probably need to rewatch it. But yeah, J.K. Simmons... Good interview, by the way. I'd love to talk to that guy one day. Also, a very willing anecdotal storyteller. Our next guest, I've never had on. I'm very much looking forward to it. It is her wedding anniversary today. I did not know that when I asked Cody Decker if she would be willing to talk, but I saw that she was going on WFAN in New York because the Mets fired Jared Porter. But the story also is highly relevant here because Jared Porter and his transgressions against this female reporter happened when he was the director of pro scouting for the Chicago Cubs. At least one Cubs employee reportedly knew about it. It did not get reported in a good-looking way. It's just it's a very unfortunate story, and Jen was on the receiving end of these exact same types of messages, and it cost her a lot in her personal life and career. So if you wonder, like, oh, what's the big deal? It's just men being men. It's just flirtations. You should just block the number and move on. Like, Jen Sturger can speak to what this does to a person's career and psyche. It happened to her in a very high-profile way from Brett Favre. She will tell us the story next on The Score.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Danny Parkin Show flashback.
Cody Decker.
Jen today has gotten several tweets harassing her because she got sent a pic in 2008. Like today, on our anniversary, she's waking up to people saying that, you know, basically slut-shaming her for nothing. She's never been in the same room as a guy. And this is what women in our industry have to deal with all the time. I'm very, very saddened by a lot of responses. I'm saddened to see that no one wants to have this hard conversation that we have to have. And we need to start looking ourselves in the mirror. It's all of our faults. Every single one of us. My fault. Your fault, Danny. Everybody else's fault in the media, because what did we do back in 2011? Everybody turned it on Jen and made sure she was the victim was the person that should be, attacked. I'm happy that we're not in that place anymore, but we're still dealing with the exact same problem. We have done nothing to handle the problem in sports, in media, in everywhere. And it's honestly, we should all be ashamed of ourselves. Every single one of them, every single one of us, myself included.
The Danny Parkin Show on 670 The Score.
That was great stuff from our friend Cody Decker earlier in the show. And we wanted to talk to Deck because he was on this show. He's been co-hosting with me off and on for the last few months. And he advocated for his friend Jared Porter to get the Cubs general manager job under Jed Hoyer. And then he was a champion of his when he got the job with the Mets. But then the news comes out last night that he had sent unsolicited and lewd text messages to a female reporter when he was the director of pro scouting here with the Cubs back in 2016. 62 consecutive unanswered text messages. And Cody Decker is married to then Jen Sturger, now Jennifer Decker, who famously was the recipient of the same types of text messages from Brett Favre. So in the Decker household, they knew what it was like from the Jared Porter situation, and on the receiving end of it. And Cody was kind enough to put us in touch with his wife. And I did not know, Jen, I promise you, I did not know that it was your wedding anniversary today when I asked if you were willing to come on the show. So I am so sorry. But first of all, thank you for the show and happy anniversary.
You know, I think this is just one big way for Cody to try to make everyone forget that he almost dropped me on my head during our wedding in front of a crowd full of people. This is all just a giant ruse. I mean, that's the only thing I can come up with. But we are kind of living in that Groundhog's Day, it seems, because the stuff that I dealt with in 2000, it was technically 2008 when everything happened. It was 2010 when everything was made public. And to be honest, not much has changed. And I think a lot of that has to do with the power dynamic in sports. And that is that for the most part, men are the decision makers, you know, men are the men and are the people in power. And as long as that weird power dynamic exists, I think this is going to be something that is recurring.
So can you personalize this for us? Like, what do we, like me and Spiegs or your husband, and I know he understands it now more because he is your husband, but like, we cannot really put ourselves in your shoes. Like, what do men need to understand about the damage that these types of actions that Brett Favre did to you or Jared Porter did to this reporter? What is the damage that that causes on the recipient?
Oh, it's kind of a loaded question because there's the initial shock, obviously, when it happens. Word to the wise, gentlemen, if you're listening and just happen to be looking for great life advice, we are never, ever, 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 ever prepared to receive that kind of picture. You don't know what we're doing with our day. Like, we could be out and about at the grocery store. We could be in our car driving somewhere. We could be, you know, out with girlfriends, but we are never sitting around being like, I cannot wait to receive that message. We just aren't, you know what I mean?
Noted.
I mean, one thing you're gonna have to get through this entire interview is that I have a very awkward sense of humor, and it's honestly been the only thing that has kept me sane for the last decade, because if I didn't have my sense of humor and I wasn't able to find the funny in things, I don't know that I'd still be here.
Well, Jen, I appreciate your sense of humor, and I know you've done stand-up comedy with it, and I would imagine that humor has been a great medicine for you, but like, I have to be honest with you, like, I am so like neurotic or insecure. Like, if
we're not allowed to laugh. We're not allowed to laugh at this stuff.
Yeah. No, you aren't allowed to laugh. And honestly, I get it. But here's the thing. If I don't make myself laugh, I'm going to cry, because that's what I've been living. Like, that has been my life for the last 10 years. You know, a lot of people don't realize, like, when a sports story goes away, the impact that it has on the people's lives that are involved, it extends so far beyond that. You know, for everyone else, the news cycle in sports moves relatively fast. You know, when I was going through all my stuff, I was so elated that the Cam Newton laptop story, which I'm sure everyone has practically forgotten by now, happened. And I was like, thank God for those laptops. Am I right? And
wow.
You know what? No one's talking about his laptops anymore, but when I walk into a room, my name has this weird stench on it that you have to recognize and you have to acknowledge. And that's a tough thing for me to swallow, because it's so weird, because when I watched, obviously, when the Me Too movement happened, and I was like, thank God we're finally addressing this. But when does it retroactively take effect for me? And that's something that I don't know that I'll ever get an answer to.
I can't imagine what that must feel like, to see the reckoning come like too little too late for you. So maybe, again, this is a loaded question, and if it is, I apologize. Like, do you feel like that was progress in the direction of a solution, or is there no solution to this problem?
You mean in terms of how Porter's being punished?
I mean the power dynamic, right? Like, at least Jared Porter was fired, right? And there was some accountability for him. So, like, me as an outsider, I'm like, okay, well, there is at least some progress there.
I think
but
part
I don't...
of the problem has been a larger societal issue. I'm not going to lie about that.
Correct.
You know, and I'm not going to turn it into a political statement, but I will say that there was, like, this shift that happened, you know, in 2016, both for the good and bad, where it's like voices just got louder from both sides. And I'll be honest, like, it's really changed who I am in terms of my online presence, because I can only take so much of it. But I feel like while one side of the aisle got really, really loud and they were like, no, we're not going to stand for this anymore. It's like the other side of the aisle got even louder because we had a leader that was emboldened by doing it. Do you know what I mean?
Of course. Grab them by the blank, right? Of course.
Exactly. Exactly. And like I said, it just speaks to a larger problem at hand, and that is that there just aren't enough women in decision-making positions and positions of power to be able to advocate for us and to be able to say, look, the things that are happening to us are not right. It took an actual movement. It took women across this country banding together and saying, you know, from all different walks of life, from the waitress at the restaurant saying, you know, my boss grabs my butt, or, you know, the executive saying, you know, my entire time I've worked here, my boss has been doing this to me and this to me, and I'm a high-level executive. It happens everywhere. And I think we just all need to be a little more aware of it and call it out when it happens.
Yeah, well, maybe that's one of the few empowering things that can be suggested for people to do, for women to do, and for men to do when they catch wind of it and they know it's wrong. Because I feel like the game is rigged against you from the start, Jen. Like, I can't imagine, you know, at the time, you're a journalist with the Jets.
Look, I'm going to call a spade, and I'm going to say I was a glorified cheerleader that had a microphone because I couldn't dance. Okay, I was a game day host. I was an in-stadium performer, but I interacted with fans and I interacted with celebrities at the game. My journalism career was still young. You know, I had done a few hits for ABC, ESPN. I had done, obviously, some writing for Sports Illustrated, but I was still so young in the game. I had no representation. I had no grown-ups in the room looking out for me, and I was a 25-year-old who had just moved to New York City. The Jets was my only job I had left because the economy crashed, and I had to hang on to that job for dear life while being sexually harassed and threatened with my job.
Yeah, see, well, that's the thing. So you're in that kind of position, and all of a sudden, if a relationship with a potential source or a big-name person becomes available, your instincts are to chase that down and further that. It's on you then to draw the boundaries.
In terms of when you're speaking, wait, it's on me to draw the boundaries? That's where you're getting it wrong. It's not up to the women to draw the boundaries. It's for the men to keep it in their pants and to act like professionals. There is no reason that I shouldn't be able to go to work and feel safe and feel respected.
Right.
That isn't something that I should have to draw the line for. It's about professionalism, and it's about people treating each other like human beings with some decency.
Yeah, and when they cross over, if they cross over, like Brett did to you, or like Jared Porter did to this reporter, then you have to be the one that calls it out. That's where I was going. Not that you have to tell them what the boundary is. They should know.
That's the problem.
It didn't work well for you to call it out, and it didn't work well for her to not call it out. So I don't know exactly what's supposed to happen. That's the problem. It doesn't seem like there's a solution there.
Exactly. And therein lies the problem. And it sucks because I love the answer where it's like, well, why don't you just go out and get a different job? This exists everywhere. I'm not acting like what happened to me is an isolated incident. I know there are so many other women, like I said, in all walks of life that experience this every single day. Because I'd be lying if the Jets is the only place that I would say I've experienced something like this. It's not. Okay? And from all of the stories and the women that flood my inboxes on Twitter and Facebook, I know I'm not alone. The problem is it took all of us standing together in a movement just to make the needle move a little bit. And the fact of the matter is it's still going on. And like I said, it comes down to putting women in positions of power and letting them have decisions at the table and letting them have a voice. Because I truly believe if there was more female representation in the NFL at the time my investigation went down, mm-hmm. I really don't think it goes down the same way it did.
It's impossible.
Come to think of it, now that I'm sitting here thinking about it with you guys, I don't think I encountered a single woman the entire time going through my investigation with the NFL.
Wow.
Every single person that they sent to talk to me and question me, every investigator that I had to sit down with and meet with, up to Roger Goodell and himself and the three attorneys that he brought with him, All of them were men.
And you know
and
what, Sandy?
I was public enemy number one.
And Sandy Alderson said today that when they vetted Jared Porter, Jen, they asked a ton of people about his character and they felt great about it. He was then asked, were any of them women that you asked? The answer was no. They didn't talk to a single woman anywhere along the way about Jared Porter's character. So it's still, representation matters for people to get hired and end up in places where they can offer that kind of input.
But being in the same household with Cody has really given me this interesting perspective on this dynamic, because I've seen it now kind of from both sides, where it's people that vouched for him and his character, and because he did wonderful things for them. You know, he helped them, he mentored them, he looked out for people. But again, you look at the genders of the majority of those people, and I'm sure the survey says most of them are going to be male. And it just goes to show you that you can be someone's friend and ally and be someone's nightmare. Both ends of that spectrum can be true.
No, it's like, I mean, I obviously don't know Cody well, but I mean, his passion and anger was so obvious today when he was on the show and when I was texting with him earlier, because he seemed, and you would know better than me, he seemed genuinely shocked that
Jared
could have done this.
It's betrayal. It's betrayal, honestly. And that's what it comes down to. We all want to think that we know someone and we know how they conduct themselves in their day-to-day life. And the fact of the matter is, I think Chris Rock has a joke about it, where it's like, where you meet someone, you're meeting their representative. You know what I mean? You're meeting that version of the person that they want you to meet. And you know what? He just didn't show this side of himself to, you know, anyone but this woman that we're aware of.
Wow.
I don't feel, looking at this, like it's going to be one of those barrages where there's like tons of women that come out. But I don't care how many women it is. It shouldn't be one.
Well, listen to you representing and giving voice to this and sharing your voice and your perspective. And the more you do this, the longer you do the show with Cody and the more stuff like this you do, the less you will be reduced to just that footnote that you feel like sometimes is the case. Just keep going.
No, absolutely. And that's what it's all about. Is a lot of people say, why do I still want to talk about it? And I say, look, I have two options. I can let other people tell my story and get all the facts wrong, or I can tell my story and I can take back my story and I can make sure that this doesn't happen to someone else again. I don't know if you guys know this. I go when I speak to sports media classes, you know, at my alma mater and also at the University of Florida. And I will sit down with these kids and I will just give them the cold, hard truth that, like, yeah, it's awesome to work in sports and you get to interview, you know, some of the top athletes out there. And it's so much fun to be in the thick of like all these exciting games and matchups. But there is an ugly side of sports that we are just not addressing right as like a society as a whole. And for me, as a sports fan, I want something more out of my sports. And it's funny because, you know, we talk a lot about our own personal fandoms on the show that we had. And I would always talk about, like, I'm obviously a disgruntled Tampa Bay sports fan. Well, albeit things are trending up for us right now.
Yeah, it's not so bad.
But I can't even personally enjoy it this year when it comes to the Bucks because they signed Antonio Brown. I can't. And the fact of the matter is, we're willing to overlook all of the terrible things these guys do off the field because they're able to catch and throw a ball. Isn't that something?
Yeah, it's not a good reflection on people's priorities. The Cubs fans dealt with that actually in 2016 on the field when they brought in Aroldis Chapman, who had domestic abuse in his past, to be the closer of that team that won the World Series. And I guess as we're talking with Jen Decker here, and I know we got to go, but the last thing I would like to ask you, and I know you mentioned representation, and I'm sure that is certainly going to be a part of this answer, but this did happen at the Cubs, which is another reason why we wanted to have you on. And this is an organization, they say they didn't know, but there's also been reporting that a employee did know and tried to like broker a meeting between Porter and this reporter and was like, hey, use it to your advantage. And like, clearly that's not in any HR training manual. So
that's
Jen,
disgusting. Nowhere in an HR manual ever would they tell you to do that, but go on.
No, I know that, and like we've done the HR training, right? We have to do it every 6 months, I think, at this company. But I guess my question to you would be, like, if you could talk to the Cubs, like you'd maybe talk to the alma mater and with your experience, like, what would you tell them to do? Not necessarily to, like, make that situation right from 4 years ago. They can't undo that. But, like, going forward, what is best practices for an organization like the Cubs that aspires to be better but clearly fell very short in this instance?
I say take your time with an investigation. And I say truly, here's what it comes down to. When you're dealing with HR, the majority of the time, the whole purpose of HR is to not protect you. It's to protect the interest of the company. The same thing happened to me with the NFL. And when it comes to an HR investigation, like, don't scrimp on who you hire for HR, because it needs to be handled with such delicate kid gloves, especially when it's something sexual in nature, and a thorough investigation needs to be involved. And above all else, like, protect the mentality of the victim, because you do not understand the ramifications dealing with something like this can cause you, the sleepless nights, the loss in your ability to perform in the workplace and to work at your highest ability. Like, I can't tell you all of the different ways this has affected, including my marriage. There are times that I just get incredibly triggered by things, and poor Cody's just like, I don't know what would just happen, but I'm going to roll with it. And God bless him. He's so patient with me 99% of the time. But I truly do believe it comes down to sensitivity training and just understanding that the old boys club needs to go away. It truly does.
Jen, thank you very much for trusting us, who you don't know, to tell your story.
Someone vouched for you guys, so
yeah. I appreciate him. I appreciate you, and you're very strong, and your story is very powerful. No matter how painful it is for you to tell it and relive it, so thank you very much for your time. And again, happy anniversary.
Thank you so much, guys.
You got it, Jen. And we're hearing from a lot of men really appreciating the conversation, and a couple fathers of daughters really appreciating your input. So keep going.
So that's Jen Decker with us on The Score. I think I assume we're just completely out of time. Yeah, I'm not sure what we have. What's coming up, Shane?
We're going to take a quick break, come back, and say goodbye.
Okay, perfect. We'll be back right after this on The Score.
I shut it down.
Thank you again to Jennifer Decker for her time and her vulnerability with the show. I think that was a useful conversation for a lot of people, and I know I learned a few things as well. Thank you to Cody Decker for trusting us to do it with his wife on the air like that on such a tough, vulnerable situation. And Hub Arkish was our other guest as well. So Cody Decker, Jen Decker, and Hub Arkish today. Shane Reardon, thank you. Produces this thing around here. We appreciate him. Chris Tannehill makes us sound better than we are each and every day. Hey, Speaks, what do you think? Do it again tomorrow?
Tomorrow and Thursday. Let's go, man. Just going to get better and better and better. Onward.
That's the goal. He's Matt Spiegel. I'm Danny Parkins. Joe Ostrowski is coming up next. This is The Score.
For all station
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.